Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Welcome to Deep Exposure, a promotional talk show for individuals who have a passion for what they bring to the world. Here, we are talking about you, the artist, the promoter, the entrepreneur, and the community service organizer. If you have a voice, we have a platform and the marketing to getting your individual voice heard. Welcome to Deep Exposure. The sponsor for this program is Prosperity. Looking for ways to cut down your payments, whether it is your mortgage, your credit card payments, or your loans? Allow Prosperity to win in your life. Go to bit.ly/prosperitywon. Again, that's bit.ly/prosperitywon.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to Deep Exposure. I want to thank everybody for chiming in, for clicking in, for connecting with us today. We have an awesome show of 3 men. It's kind of rare that I actually have men on the radio involved with a lot of women that are doing their thing in business, and it's just good to have 3 men for the whole show. So this is going to be a male-empowered show tonight. I want to also welcome those. I was checking my stats out for the radio and finding out that there's quite a few people coming not only from the United States, so I definitely want to welcome my American audience that is here, but I also want to thank those that are coming in from China. It is 9:30 in the a.m. right now in China, so for those that are listening in China that are getting up and getting ready for their day, or maybe you're already at your job in China, I want to thank you guys for chiming in to Deep Exposure. For those in Ireland where it is 1:30 in the a.m., I want to thank you guys for staying up to listen. Maybe you're on my Facebook, maybe you're on my Twitter, maybe you're on my Google+. I want to thank you guys. Please let us know how you find out about us. I would love to know that. So if you're in Ireland, truly chime in and let us know how you are hearing about us. Go to our Facebook page at Deep Exposure and just let us know. Hey, I heard from you here, there, or wherever. And for those that are in Colombia, South America, it is 8:30 in the p.m. I know you guys are probably getting ready for your next day, and so I want to welcome you guys in as well. And for those in Turkey, where it is 4:30 in the a.m., maybe these are military people, I don't know, but 4:30 in the a.m., you guys are chiming in. I definitely want to thank you. It's always great to thank those that are appreciating us and that are supporting us no matter where you are. We are global, and that's the best thing about technology today, is that we are in a global state of mind where we can connect with anybody in the world. And so, again, welcome. Good morning. Good evening. Or maybe good afternoon, wherever you are at. Today I want to talk a little bit about marketing. I've been inspired this week to say a few things about marketing. There are some things that people should understand when it comes to marketing, if you're in the business or have a business, starting a business, one of the things that you always want to do is to include marketing in your budget. Don't think that marketing is not needed. It's why most businesses go out of business is because they are not marketing at all or not marketing correctly. Your cost for your product, people want to know why inflation, why things cost so much. It's because they're including marketing in their costs so that they can reach you as an audience. Marketing is not an exact science, but it is a science. It's a science of understanding what will and what won't work for your product. The other aspect of marketing is survey marketing. Is getting to know who your customers are. So there's this whole push-pull thing that people talk about in marketing. But, you know, marketing is also has an edge of customer service to it. You want to know why people are buying your product. You want to know why people are actually coming to your shows. Don't think that because you're an artist that you should not be doing some form of marketing to understand how your play, how your movie, how your music is affecting people. If somebody buys your CD, follow up with that person. If you've gotten an address or an email or something said about you on Facebook, one, appreciate them, of course, but then follow up with them and ask them, hey, what song was your favorite song on the CD? What did you like about my music? Do not be afraid to ask about yourself. Pretty much that is the basics of what marketing is for. You want to know from people how they feel about your product, how they feel about your service, and how they also feel about your art and your work. And so with that said, I hope that those that are thinking about opening up a business, that are in that mid-range, at that third year of being in business and are starting to make money and starting to break even, that when you raise your prices, that you're raising your prices so that we're one-third, which is usually the rule of thumb, one-third of your profit is used to go back into marketing. Marketing is literally an investment in you to prosper and to be abundant in business. So with that, we are going to do a little bit more of exposure and start getting into our first guest, which is Herb Brooks. So let's hold on. Let's listen to a little bit about who Herb Brooks is.
Herb Brooks was trained in the New York Film and TV program, where he received a Bachelor's of Arts focused on documentary and lifestyle filmmaking, particularly in cultural history of the African diaspora. He has developed technical skills working in film, television, theater, and social media, using them for such brands as AMC Networks, Image Nation, and the National Association of Minorities in Communications. He was also house photographer for the Nurekan Poets Cafe, Bowery Poetry Club, and the W.E.D. Du Bois Institute. Herb is currently supervising over-the-top video services with Digital Media Rights, a content acquisition, distribution, and aggregate. His career is dedicated to supporting diaspora narratives in the digital age.
Hey, Herb, how are you?
Hey, Corey, I'm doing all right.
Good, good, good. I don't know if it's, I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if that's you or me.
Can you hear me well? How's that?
I can hear you well. It's kind of, could be Blog Talk for all we know. I had some issues with them last week, but let's move forward from that. Give us a little bit of who you are. We've got a little bit of your educational history, but you're saying that you like to be in you like documentary work and lifestyle filming. Is that something that you are truly enthralled in and currently working in now?
Yes, I am. It's kind of my mentor's fault, really. I was trained by people like George Stoney, who brokered the deal for stations like Manhattan Neighborhood Network and all of the public access stations in the city, who is a great documentarian in his own right, also was trained by, I was on, in the university, in New York University at the same time as Sam Pollard, one of the great documentarians of African American descent of African descent of our time. So with those type of role models, I thought it was just lining up everything toward my sensibility of liking storytelling. Liking storytelling, liking the way that to hear true stories, seeing that there's room for fiction and everything else, but there is enough life in the stories that actually happen to be able to tell them to be able to tell them on a more frequent basis.
Right. There's so many stories in the world. Everybody pretty much has a story. How do you choose what type of story you want to tell?
Usually the stories that I want to tell are about people's passion. So there's a concept in the African diaspora culture called the griot concept. Griot is actually the French word, but jali is what's more commonly used among Africans. So it's that culture of storytelling, that culture of picking one, of following one person's journey, or it was usually royalty and just connected to kind of the lineage of the whole village or kingdom, and really keeping that preserved and keeping that alive. And so that's the part that I am really, really working on. So I really want to work with people who are not concerned, but who want to preserve their legacy, who really want to make something and put it out there in the world, but still have it connect years down the line, and still have themselves connected to it years down the line. So the pieces that I did for the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, I shot all of their grand slams for about 10 years. So every year, every slam team that ever went national, I had footage of all of the individuals. And a person that was on the board at the time, Claire Ultimo, she helped me. I was helping her to populate her website, which is called Verbs on Asphalt, and it was a repository for all of the poets that were in that era of the New Eurekan. So, lot of them went on to become great. So you've got Daniel Beattie, you've got, Sarah Jones, you've got, you got some Sekou Sunjata, you've got Sky Kirk Nugent, you've got like practically all of the Deaf Poetry Jam cast. So a lot of those poets I had footage of, and it was great to make sure that it was in the right place and being preserved on the web. So those are the things that I want to bring to either nonprofits or actually a lot of cultural organizations and our lifestyle brands too, because I started working with Corey, years ago, because I felt that he had that vision, that griot spirit, where we were looking to contain, encapsulate not only branding and selling, but the core of what the business was about, the why of the business, and the reason that the business deserves attention and deserves longevity. So Brooks Vision Productions is a you know, is an amalgam of those things. And when I take on a client, I try to do something that's called embedding. I want to know their story, and I try to almost like an embedding as a war correspondent. But I want to try and tell their story as close to from their point of view as I can, coming in from the outside, and
right.
And to have their values at heart in what I'm producing. And then that way they have something that they want to keep, and they have something that they are proud of showing the world. And it's not just an image tool, but it's also something that communicates really the internal of what the business is about, so that it makes more of an impact on the viewer.
Right, right. So, I mean, yeah, that's that's why we have a synergy. Getting the people of color into the game outside of mainstream, inside of mainstream, is still a work of progress, even though we are on the eve of the Black Panther movie coming out via Hollywood. I still say it's 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can be honest, it's a challenge. You can be honest.
Yeah. It's 2017, and with the I want to kind of go back to the time of Motown, you know, when Black music just filled the waves. I mean, we were there before, but you know, Motown kind of gave it a different type of spin, I feel, historically.
Right.
And I still think that we have not, which is what I was trying to do back in 2005, was to give it that spin, and to bring people of color together to create a network of works, because
right.
there are more, there's so many producers and writers in film whose work have not been seen, but have been placed
mm-hmm.
on the shelves of many mainstream storehouses. And I love to tell the story of Ruby Dee, where, you know, she created her own movie, but she had to, at the time when she was living, had to sign it out in order, she needed permission for it to be seen. And that's sad.
Right.
But it's your work, your creation, that you don't have a freedom to distribute
right.
or to allow people to see your work without, you know, going to the master's house.
Right.
You wanted to talk a little bit about the black market. I wanted video in the black market. Could you explain what that is?
Okay, so first I want to talk about really quickly what you said about Motown. So the spin was an internal spin. We just got to be honest with what we were producing and where we were going and what our music said. So that was the spin, and it's always the spin that attracts the rest of the world. You know,
right.
it's the spin, you know, the kind of spin that black, you know, that black culture and true culture it brings out to the world. And that's kind of, and that's what we have to see, is what's sustainable for us. So
yeah.
video on the black
yeah.
market, video in the black market, one is essential. I mean, we have to see that the value of that quote unquote spin is still majorly untapped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even mm-hmm. the, you know, Black Clans is going to be great. It's going to be huge. But I think the value of that is almost not the value in itself, but the value of, you know, the kind of the Obama value of just showing that it can be done, and showing
right.
that, you know, that, yes, you know, it's just a validation, you know, a validation by the mainstream, but it, you know, don't get me wrong, it is a validation by us because we are the ones that are spending it and are spending on it and sending it through the roof.
Yes.
And the validation that we can do the same thing for all other black products as well.
Right.
So,
right.
So the thing with video is, early on I realized that, I was employed working with an archival house and I got exposure to a lot of the oldest records. Like I saw Shirley Chisholm while she was running for president. While she was running for president, I saw her with Robert Kennedy in an interview. I saw had old footage of Marlana Karenga. I still have footage of Amiri Baraka doing poetry in a basement in Newark. So these are the type of images that really stood out with me as far as what I wanted to pursue visually. And I got to learn the technology of preserving them. And then further on down the line, we started talking about, okay, now we can redistribute this stuff and we can archive it and preserve it even outside of the Library of Congress. And, you know, and honestly, for me, it's a race to cover lots of events and lots of happenings that are, you know, that deserve to be preserved as part of our legacy. So so my work in digital media is working with digital distribution to all these platforms like Hulu and Netflix, you know, not Netflix so much, but Hulu and Amazon and Google Play. I'm working on an account with Google Play right now. But I want, you know, but I'm really hoping to get some of the African American content partnered with different companies. And the company I'm with now is an Asian run company, but they're, as you can imagine, more open to diversified content. They're acquiring content from literally all over the world, like as far as Mongolia. And we, you know, right now I think we have five or six African titles, like from South Africa, right now that we're distributing, and they're doing well. So I'm hoping to kind of get in touch with some of the people like Quali TV and people that own rights to that stuff. And a word to all of the prospective businesses that are going to be working with me or the Black Success brand, is that the rights, which is really the key to all of the media success, the rights are yours. The rights are belong to the client. The rights belong to the subject. You know, is your story. So without it, I wouldn't be able to shoot a doggone thing.
Right.
So,
right.
So those, you know, we wouldn't be able to shoot anything. We'd be able to produce anything. If you didn't have the idea, you know, even Corey can create a logo, but if you didn't have the product and the vision, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So.
So the
rights to it go to you. And the special thing I feel about Brooks Vision Productions is that a large part of my focus is on making sure that whenever you need your content, you have it.
Yes. Right.
And if it's
exactly.
going to go, and that I would, you know, I think I would probably spend more on storage equipment than than actual photography and capture equipment, because that's, you know, that's the meat of it, you know, your finished content, and making sure that you always have it, because, you know, there'll be events and there'll be, you know, different parts. And I'm working with a couple of organizations just to kind of streamline their process and streamline their archive so that, you know, when you're going for that grant money or when you're going for that fellowship or when you're going for, you know, when you're going for that next round of funding, that you have, you know, that you don't have to make a new product every time and you don't have to make a new promo every time. You have things that we have already been working on. You have things that you've done. And even if it's shot by somebody else, I've, you know, there's so many times that people have lost stuff and lost prime marketing material because they've kind of done the they've done the production part of it by the seat of their pants or whoever can do it right now, and then it kind of goes with that person and they get busy, especially as smaller staffed businesses, that detail kind of goes by the wayside, and then somebody's running around with your footage, you don't know where it is.
Where's
so
that?
Managing that part is super important.
Truly is. Well, Herb, I gotta close you out. This has been a really good conversation. I might have to bring you back on just so that we can do something a little deeper. And actually, I might want to bring my lawyer back on too, because there's so many pieces and parts to when it comes to content and creating video content, not only in the creation of it, but also, like you said, the managing of it, the owning of it, and as well as the distribution of it. And, you know, maybe that should really be a full hour show where we kind of talk about that, so that and even incorporating businesses into supporting, people of color film, especially African American or African diaspora content, especially in the Americas, as, you know, we have so many Black businesses, and especially our Black women who are the forerunners when it comes to entrepreneurship, to really have them invest in content so that our stories could be told and heard with authentic truth to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yes. Well, I have one last thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Real quick, don't forget everybody's, the big game now is ad distribution, is ad serving. And so big companies are looking, you know, big media companies are looking for buys of commercial spots because they have to fill their inventory. Every time you see a commercial, when you're unsubscribed on Hulu or something, that can be filled by one of our businesses. You know, every time you see a commercial on YouTube, before you get to watch a video, it will close, you know, before you get to skip it, that can be one of our commercials. So think in terms of that when you're thinking of both content and ads.
Exactly. We need to get in the game, and people can hire you to do that. So, again, thank you for getting on. I appreciate the conversation, exposing you to my audience. I will let people know where they can find you.
Yep, Herb@BrooksVisionProductions.com. Just send me an email.
There you go. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the show. Talk to you later.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, that was Herb Brooks. Herb Brooks, Brooks Vision. Make sure you remember that, BrooksVision.com. We're going to go straight into our next guest. Our next guest is Floetic.
Floetic has released his debut album in 2012 entitled Takeover, featuring songs like Fly High, How Is It, and Venting. In 2015, he released his second album, Truth Be Told, featuring songs like Levels, Undefeated, and Amazing. He is currently in collaborations with W Productions, as they are in the process of promoting him around the country as well as distributing his music throughout the internet. Accomplishing a lot throughout his career, Flowetic has opened up for many mainstream artists, such as Rick Ross, Twista, Trick-A-Trick, Eminem, E-Sean, Two Pistols, Dub Da Quad, and Little Bossy. He's also opened up for a fashion show event hosted by Morris Chestnut and Vivica A. Fox.
Flowetic.
Hey, what's going on, Corey?
Hey, but it's all good, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, man, it's going good, man. It's going good, you know.
Good. I'm glad I can get you on Deep Exposure. Let me put out the number. I realize that's one thing I've got to remember to do. People, if you want to call in and ask a question, you can call in at 909-232-9222. Again, the number is 909-232-9222. So you are a hip-hop artist, as I know you to be. We met quite a few years ago, brought you to New York to do a few shows and stuff. Got some video done back in the day. You're going to have to catch me up. What's going on, and what are you doing now?
Well, now, man, I'm actually working on this project, and it's called Taking Hip-Hop Back. I just released the first single off the album called I Will Not Lose. And it's crazy because this whole project was actually inspired by today's, I guess you could say, rap music. Just kind of being from that old school era, of hip-hop, just listening to today's hip-hop or rap, man, it was like motivation for me to really go back to the roots and kind of like reintroduce, you know, that real hip-hop, man, because I don't like listening to the radio no more, man. It's just sad, you know, and I feel like hip-hop has gotten swept under the rug, man. It's like it gets no respect. They don't like playing this on mainstream radios. You know, they try their hardest to keep it underground, you know, and it's crazy, man. And I know it's not popular right now, but I feel like hip-hop is still has strong roots. So that's why I say taking hip-hop back, you know. So I'm trying to come strong with this album so I can really – I'm trying to take it over, man, and I'm trying to make a statement with this and let people know that hip-hop is not dead and it needs to be respected.
So what do you think changed and why do you think it changed?
As far as this like, new generation? You know,
you're right.
That's a good question. You know, I often wonder that myself, Corey, man. You know, I don't know where things started to go wrong. It's just like this new generation, just even outside of music, is different. You know, it's just their morals and values is different. You know, I feel like the newer generation, man, they lazy with a lot of things. They don't like to put too much time and effort into anything that they do, into their craft or anything, man. Like, just, okay, for instance, look at back in the day, right, when you was a kid playing sports, okay? Back when I was a kid, only one person got a trophy or got an award, and that was the person who won. That's the person who got first place.
Right.
And you didn't get first place, well, you just got to come back next year, work hard, practice so you can get better, and then you come back and you try to get that first place spot. Now they just, you know, they giving people these participation awards. It's just, I feel like just the way kids are being brought up today is just so different. And even if you look into the music, like, these kids don't even take the time to even practice their craft.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and I see that so many times at these showcases. You know, I go to a showcase and I watch these people do a live performance. Now, for me, a live performance, and I learned this when I came out to New York, a live performance means you know, you actually give a live show. That doesn't mean that you actually put in your actual CD and rap along with your music. If you're giving a live show, that means that you actually have to remember, rehearse your words, take the time to practice your craft, you know what I'm saying? And to show that you actually, you know, gave a crap about the work that you're doing. And these days, they don't do it, man. They just, they rap over their CDs. They can't remember half the things they saying. Their music has no type of substance. It's lazy. It's lazy. So I don't respect it, man. And as an artist myself, from that old school era, man, I just, you know, I feel like I'm still young enough to where I can make an impact, and that's my plan.
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, and this is, you know, I just got off with Herb saying, you know, one of my foundations and platforms or soapboxes is to really, people think that real music is gone. And what has happened is it has gone underground. Real hip-hop, as you're saying, has gone underground. Real R&B has gone underground. Real rock, everything has gone underground. And I think it really is because we, the people who know what's good, who grew up in that era that was where music was actually music and creation was actually authentic. Like, you know, I used to love to go to hip-hop battles because, I mean, you know, people were bringing dictionaries just, you know, to come up with a new word on the spot so that they can, you know, kick it to the next guy and knock him off the box. But you don't see that now. You know, I can't, the vocabulary of cat, dog rhyming, I'm like, okay.
Yes.
That's so simple, so easy that, you know, a first grader could do it. Actually, a first grader probably could do it better now since the internet's opened up.
A little better.
You know. And so, you know, the exposure of who is doing the real thing has to come out, which is why this radio show, you know, is in existence, because people need to know that, you know, there is a Phloetic out there who's got some awesome music, some phenomenal beats, and has words that are going to get in under your skin, into your mind, making you wonder what's going to be coming next. And so, you know, I definitely applaud your work. But, you know, my thing is, you know, you're in Detroit still, right?
Yes.
Or outskirts of Detroit.
Yes.
And you're saying that, you know, the people are lazy there and wherever you go. I was talking to another great artist friend of mine, and she's moved to Texas. And she says, you know, the work ethic there is not good either. What creates really good work ethic? If you feel that hip hop has gone wrong, what do some of these young kids need to know, in order to change to be better? And then what do you think that hip hop needs to be exposed again?
Well, you know, and too, like, just to clear it up, like, it's just the overall new generation itself, I feel, is lazy when it comes to putting the time and effort in their craft. You know, it's just whether it's underground here, you know, where I'm at in the city or other states, you know, or mainstream, it's just they're lazy in general. But what do I feel needs to happen to put hip-hop back on? For me, I feel like we need people like you to really give us a platform to be heard again, because as of right now, mainstream is not going to do that. That's kind of clear. You know, if you have Black Thought, they have a new single out, and then you have this, what's this kid, Lil Uzi or Lil Yachty have a single out, they're going to play Lil Uzi or Lil Yachty, and they're not even going to give Black Thought the attention. You know, so it's just, we need people to give us a platform that's not influenced by, you know, like these labels. Because, you know, like a lot of it, you know, comes down to money and politics. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, because there's no way that any sane mind that has a listening ear can listen to this music today and tell me that that's great music. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm only speaking on this from like a, from an artist standpoint. I respect these young cats, especially these young brothers, because they could be doing something that's different than what they're doing.
True.
So I definitely give them respect for what they're doing. But my thing is that this is something that, like, I take serious. So if you're going to do it, then do it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Don't come into this and disrespect the art. You know, like, that's what I have a problem with. I salute them for trying to do something positive other than being out here selling drugs and robbing and stealing, you know, or trying to be a stereotype like we already are. So that's cool. But if you're going to do it, then do it right. Don't be lazy with no matter what you do. So, but I feel like...
Show up knowing your words.
Exactly.
Show up knowing your lyrics,
you know,
right?
And we, you know what's crazy, man, Corey, is like I used to be like that years ago. I came to New York. I did this show, you know, and it was a while back. This wasn't through DPV and did, like, this was a while back. And I saw how serious that people in New York took that. Like, they actually, like, they're like hip-hop heads. And they take... like that crowd very, very serious, man. Even just the crowd there, the fans there, man, like, they know what real hip hop is. So if you come with some garbage or you come with some bull, man, like, they're not buying it. You know, and just being around like them tough critics out there in New York when I came back, it kinda really woke me up, like, and it just kinda made me reapproach the way I approach the music. But no. A platform. We just need more people to give us a platform to be heard, and more people to give us that opportunity for us to really, you know, showcase our skills, you know. And then if we get enough underground people, enough of these underground radio stations or some of these other networks to really just let our voices be heard, after a while, the mainstream will be forced to listen to us. You know, that's just like, and even DJs. Trying to get some of these DJs to try to, you know, help, you know, play some of my music, push some of my music. And the good thing, we may have to work harder than some of these younger guys that has, you know, but we do have social media. And it's completely different than like it was back in the 90s, because we ain't have all the Twitter and things like that. So buyers have social media. We can bypass a lot of the mainstream people, you know. So it's just
quite a few artists that I know that are still independent and worldwide, you know, and filling stadiums outside of the United States, and opening for restaurants or clubs, you know, for a week. You know, it really is. Social media plays a part, and of course marketing always plays a part. So, you know, I kind of did my spiel in the beginning of the show about that. But, you know, Floek, let people know where you're at and where they can find your music, so that they can see what we're talking about.
Oh, right. Well, you know, YouTube, I actually have my first album on there, which is, everything is I Am Floetic, IAMFLOETIK. So if it's YouTube, you see like live performances, and you can hear my first and second album on YouTube as well. Of course, you can get my music. My new single, I Will Not Lose, that's off the up-and-coming 2018 project. You can get that off iTunes. Facebook is I Am Floetic. Instagram is I Am Floetic. And, you know, just stay tuned. I got a lot of visuals that's coming. I'm actually working on, real soon, I'm going to be working on this mini movie. I got a song called Life's Reality. And it's a three-verse song that pretty much talks about some of the injustices and things that's been going on around the world, far as with, you know, the murders with white cops on young black men. They're also talking about even mothers who try to prevent a good father from seeing his kids. Man, I touch on a lot of issues in this particular song. It's called Life's Reality. It was produced by Styles. It's one of my producers out here in the city. Yeah. And then and besides that, man, that's about it. And one thing, let me definitely shout out, man, because this project, 99% of this project was this particular project was produced by one of the new producers I mess with, BJ Gates. And BJ is out of Arizona, but he's from Detroit. But BJ Gates, man, he a beast, man, and okay. It is somebody who I've been rocking with now between BJ Gates and Rock Mass and Styles, man. They helped me put together some great projects. So, but yeah.
Awesome. So, what song did you give me the sneak preview to? Do you remember?
Because
that was a while back. But that one's a hot one. I want people to look out for that one.
That may have been, that was like towards the end of, like, this was like recent. That's what you're talking about, like
December.
Recent, like towards like the end of last year.
End of last
year. Okay, that may have been I Will Not Lose. That was I Will Not Lose. That was the one that was produced by BJ Gates. Yeah, like this. That's one of my best ones. So that's definitely one to check out, man. And if you want some beats from BJ, they can go to BJ Gates Music. .com. So it was bjgatesmusic.com and check him out, man. He cold, man, and he helped produce this whole new project, you know. So but yeah, man, that's where I'm at, man. I'll keep you in the loop.
All right.
No, for sure.
All right, definitely do. We're gonna have to stream you live, buddy. I'll put that on the radio. We'll work on streaming you a live video concert. There you go. Folks, you heard it right here.
Yeah, definitely.
First. Okay. That's where we're at. All right,
Corey, brother.
All right,
I appreciate
you. Same here. Peace.
All right. Take it easy.
Ponder this. Check it out. This is Corey Rashawn of Deep Exposure. I also want to expose another show that I will be bringing back to Think Big Radio entitled Ponder This. There, I am Ray Vision, and we will be taking 3 months to go in deep and discuss what is love. Make sure you tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to Think Big Radio. Find us also on Facebook at Ponder This as we go in deep to discuss what is love.
Ponder this.
Hey, folks, as I'm waiting for my next guest to chime in, let's talk about what's coming in March. There's a lot more coming in March with the Ponder This video. And, I wish it was a video. Ponder This is actually a book and a radio and turning into a conversation, live conversation, where we're sitting around the table and discussing with others what is love. I have been on this journey of learning about love, I think, since the beginning I came into this earth, I would like to say. And love is something that we all are striving for, and I just finished, or almost finished, I got a couple more paragraphs to go on one of my last chapters, the chapter that I'm working on right now, which is called Relationships, and it seems like that's one of the longer chapters in the book. In March, on the 4th, on a Saturday at 10 a.m. in the morning, we will be having a conversation, or I will be having a conversation with guests to talk about love. It could be the love of your job, the love of your family, the love of your faith, the love of yourself, the love of your business, your career, your talent. What is love to you? And how did you arrive to this place of an inner, deeper love? I think, you know, we talk about the surface aspects of love, and Ponder This is definitely going to go into the deeper aspects of love. And so as I'm moving forward, you'll start seeing more promotions about that. The book should be out at the top of top of April, and the event in New York City will be in April 29th in Harlem. Will be my first talk where I hope to sit down with I'll probably be standing up and walking around. The guests will be sitting down and eating. And we're looking to have 50 guests in Harlem. looking to get the venue down packed by the end of this week. And you'll see more information on Facebook. You can go to Ponder This on Facebook, and you'll see my face there and a little thing that says Ponder This with an exclamation point. That is the logo. But again, we're going to take 3 months, and we're going to talk about love. Let me see if this person right here is Ken Blake. Hold on. Ken.
Hey, how's it going, my boy?
Good, good, good. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to introduce you.
Ken Big Blake, Big as he is well known, has assisted entrepreneurs in developing their passion, small business owners, in maximizing their profits, and helping them to take action to reach their goals. Big, the owner of Think Big Radio, is on today to discuss the changes in marketing and their 2018 goals.
Mr. Ken Big Blake, I should be bowing down to you. You are the owner of Think Big Radio. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm actually battling a flu bug, but, you know, you can't let something stop you. We can still move forward.
That's right. That's right, man. I hope you feel better. I'm going to have to send you some light and love out your way. Get my black witches on to you. So then this won't be too long. I don't want you to suffer from too much. I hope your speaking voice is good enough to get you through at least.
I think this could be okay.
Okay. Give us a history of Think Big Radio. How did it start?
Okay. Well, in 2007, when I was living in Chicago, I was a real estate broker, and I was thinking about when I was ready to expand, what was one of the easiest ways. And as we all know about marketing, you know, marketing, and depending on where you go, can be expensive. Back then, you know, it was more so your radio ads, maybe TV commercials, and some internet. So I decided to start Think Big Radio so that I could interview movers and shakers in different areas so that I would be creating a warm market. And the first 3 months, I dedicated every Tuesday and every Thursday to do a show. And the next thing you know, I had about 7 to 10 hosts that came on, and because they liked the name and they liked the concept. And a lot of them, from just being a host and their name being out there, when someone Googles them or Bings them, they were able to, you know, also get business for their businesses. Most of the hosts that come on the show, they have a business. And so they see that it's a way to also market. Back then, we were just on, which we still do have, our MySpace page. Yeah, so we're still on MySpace. And so part of the thing that I did as a strategy was every week I would join 3 different social networks, and I would copy and paste and made sure that the RSS feed would be within that post, so that whenever we were having the show or doing it live or whatever, they would be able to pick them up. We broke all types of records that first year with Blog Talk Radio. And so as time went on, and as other things, you know, came into being, we didn't really take care of the show as much as we would have wanted to. But we always managed to do at the minimum maybe 7 shows in a year, but now we're picking back up, and we're looking to make some things happen. You know, we've actually just sat down and put a strategy together, because even though it was more of a hobby, you know, if you're giving up some of your time, even if it's a hobby, you should be able to earn income from it. So yeah. Now we're putting in things where we'll be able to also you know, provide income from our host as well as the station in general. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. let me apologize for my melancholy, but I'm just trying to get through it without coughing as much.
Right. Well, I'll testify that this is a jolly man. He's a very happy man, and he definitely can hear that you have something going on with you. So what are people to look forward to in 2018? Can you give a little bit of a secret out?
Well, we're looking to get more hosts to come on the show who actually are familiar with the platform and just build a network from Think Big Radio. And so we're looking also to increase the number of shows we have every week so that now we can start getting that ad revenue. So we put a lot of things in place, but, you know, of course, I can't give our listeners all of our corporate secrets, but just think about things that make sense in order for you to earn income, and then think about things that may not make sense but that are out of the box. And that's pretty much what we do here on our team. And Corey can attest to that because he's definitely awesome. I mean, if it's just the A through Z, there's a positive word that we can use for Corey.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Look, I'm coming with two this year. I mean, I was excited by bringing Ponder This last year and really love the platform. I've done radio as a co-host with other people, but to really control and run my own show, it was exciting. It was good. It was new. So I definitely appreciate you for having the platform for me to do what is turning out to be something that I really like to do. I mean, my friends say I like to talk, but, you know, talking and putting a radio show together is two different things, and coming from video to radio, I'm like, wow, this is a lot easier. So so I'm loving the platform, love having the space to do what I do, and bringing people on to introduce them to the audience of the station. So I truly look forward to, you know, where you're moving and where you're planning to take the station as well. Always will have my support. And shoot, if I can do a third show, we'll talk about that too. But but it is, if somebody does want to produce a show on your radio station, where should they go?
Well, they can go to thinkbigradio.com/become a host. That's BECOME, become a host, HOST. They're on the regular thinkbigradio.com station. They can see that drop down. And there's a little form that they fill out. It basically tells us a little bit about them, what they're looking to do. And we just look for people who are passionate. And, of course, with all of the different minds that we've had on Think Big Radio and the ones that we have now, you know, we all assist with, you know, making sure that show is profitable. One of the things that we don't do is, let's say a person does their first show and it's not that great, we keep it. So we just really let it go out there because that's a reminder of where you started and how well you are today. One of the good things about Think Big Radio is we're pretty much everywhere. We're on iHeartRadio now. We have an app on the Apple and the Google Play Store. I think we're averaging just 8,000 to 10,000 hits a month on the website. But we're in so many different places that, you know, we're well over 30,000-40,000 hits a month. And that's not even really trying to go out there and force it.
You know,
so some of the things that you do now is going to prepare for your future. And one of the things that Corey brought up in the beginning is about for 2018, even though I have Think Big Radio, my personal website, that's just pretty much used to find out a little bit about me and what I do, is KenBigBlake.com. And if you go to the bottom of that, you'll see different links that can assist you. But I would prefer, if you are serious about accomplishing some things this year, go to KenBigBlake.com/complete guide. Mm-hmm. You'll see that link at the bottom. get there. You know,
all right, awesome.
You have to write it down. You have to, you know, create a plan.
And move it forward. All right. Well, it was great having you on. We'll have to bring you back on when you're a lot well or better and stronger. And, folks, this is the owner of Think Big Radio. Thank you for all tuning in. This is the end of our broadcast. We'll see you next week.
We appreciate you, Corey. Thanks a lot.
ThinkBigRadio.com.
You too.
Where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.